a life of thanksgiving. A life of thanksgiving is what we as Christians, and particularly as Orthodox Christians, have been called to, an aspect of our faith, a life of thanksgiving. But in many practical ways, I think that we struggle with this, that we fail to live a life of thanksgiving. And this morning, as we examine the gospel lesson, I want us to begin to see how integral this is to our faith, and in fact, to our salvation. You know, the whole idea of thanks is something that we learn very early on. We're trained, or most of us, I would hope, we're trained by our parents and those polite things that we should do. Say please, say thank you when something is given to us. Say I'm sorry, excuse me, and so forth. And so there is a sense in which that is almost second nature, even in a culture that is quickly losing its civility. But I became aware of how this aspect of thanks is different from the thanks that we are talking about this morning in terms of this enculturated politeness. About 4 years ago, as many of you know, I had the opportunity to go to Cambridge University in England to visit a friend of mine, Father Michael Pacella, who was there at that time studying for his doctoral degree, and at the Institute of Orthodox Christian Studies. And when I arrived there, Father Michael had introduced me to the principal, as they call it there, the principal of the Institute, Professor David Frost. And he was your archetypical, classically trained and educated Englishman. And so David greeted me, and it was about lunchtime. And so he told Father Michael and myself that he wanted to treat us to lunch. He was going to take us across the street to the pub. And so I thanked him for that, and we went over and we had a delightful lunch there at this English pub. And when we were leaving, I once again thanked him for having given us the gift of lunch. And he turned around and he says, "Oh, you Americans, you're thanking all the time." And I became aware that it's something that perhaps is not so ingrained in the English culture to not go overboard in expressing gratitude or thanks. And so I began to think about how this thanks as a polite gesture that is almost universal within this culture is something that is very different from the thanksgiving that I'm talking about, the thanksgiving that is presented in today's gospel. Because a polite thank you does not necessarily express gratefulness of heart. And gratefulness of heart, I would say, does not necessarily express Eucharistic, salvific thanksgiving. So what's the difference? Well, we turn to our gospel lesson this morning from the 17th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, when Jesus encounters these 10 lepers. And St. Luke, the evangelist, mentions geographically where it was. He was passing through Galilee, which was, of course, the region in northern Palestine where Jesus had lived in Nazareth. He passes through into Samaria, now the modern-day West Bank. Samaria, a region of what were known really as not regarded as true Jews, but they were rather descendants of the Assyrians who were practicing the Jewish faith, but were not regarded by the religious as true faithful. And so there's this journey through this region, and upon entering a village, he is met by these 10 men who were lepers. They were afflicted with leprosy. And leprosy, we know from Leviticus, was considered a disease which caused someone to be ritually unclean. And so lepers were segregated from society, not only in terms of trying to prevent the spread of the disease, but also in terms of trying to maintain a pure ritual within the temple worship. So they stood afar off. They stood afar off as they were not to have close contact, and they lifted up their voices, verse 13 says, and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So these 10 men who were lepers, who were afflicted with this dread disease, understood the dire plight, the horrible situation that they were in. They had a profound need, and they were looking to Jesus. They were looking to Jesus, whom they had some realization was a healer, and they were crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. It expresses the need of the soul. And so Thanksgiving really begins with our own awareness of our need, such that we cry out in the Jesus prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. And then Jesus responded to them. He said, go show yourselves to the priests. You see, Jesus had indicated that he did not come to abolish the law, but that the law through him might be fulfilled. Jesus was demonstrating that he was showing deference to the Levitical law, that in the cleansing or the healing of a leper, they were to go and present themselves to a priest to receive a certificate of cleansing so that they could be rejoined to society and to the life of corporate worship. And so it was that Jesus gives them a command, gives them a word, and there was obedience to that. They went with a certain element of faith, obedient to what our Lord said, and it was along the way, in response to the word, that these 10 men were cleansed. And then we see and hear how this one man, only the Samaritan, comes back, and he fell down on his face and at the feet of Jesus. And verse 16 says, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. He was a foreigner. He was not even of the line of promise. And it was he who gave thanks. And it's here that we began to understand something about true thanksgiving. In fact, the word thanksgiving in the Greek is often rendered as Eucharistio. And Eucharistio, that is to give thanks, is actually a transliteration of the Hebrew word whose stem barak, that is also translated, or a form of that is baruch. Baruch atah Adonai. Blessed be the Lord God. Blessed be the Lord God. To give thanks, to bless God, to glorify God. You see, there was a faith that was at work that was ultimately made manifest in the glorification of God, of Jesus the Christ, the healer. So it's very interesting that when I was growing up and I watched movies that, especially I remember the Ben-Hur movie, when Ben-Hur's sister and mother were afflicted with leprosy and they lived in a colony. And I had a fear, like, Mom, Dad, can we get leprosy? And no, leprosy really doesn't exist in this part of the world. And there's medicine now that can treat it and so forth. But I learned something interesting. Leprosy is actually still a very common thing. In fact, there's a very good chance that all of us at some point probably have come into contact with the bacteria that causes leprosy. It's just that our immune system is able to handle it. And in fact, the other thing that I found out is that a person who has been infected with leprosy can go 5 to 20 years without any manifestation of symptoms. And so I think it's interesting that the very disease here that is the lesson for us in terms of faith and thankfulness is also reflective of a leprosy that we have of our souls. You see, we have been infected. We have been infected with a virus of the curse of Adam in the fall, in that separation, and death has been the sentence. And we may not even manifest or know that there is symptoms of the soul, but make no mistake, it is a disease that we bear in our souls. But what happened here is that while these nine presumably Jewish men were cleansed just as the Samaritan, they were cleansed only in body. They were cleansed and healed only in body. So their faith took them only so far. In fact, St. Athanasius tells us and teaches in this lesson that this is an indication. The ungratefulness of these nine Jewish men is an indication of the hardness of the heart of Israel as a whole. That while they received the promises of God's word, they failed to receive a healing of the soul. You see, the word of God, the old covenant, the promises of God through the old covenant could only take Israel so far. But he is called more than Israel. He's called a new Israel to include the Samaritans for a healing of not only body, but soul. And it was Jesus who said in response, "Arise, go your way to the Samaritan man. Your faith has made you well." And in fact, St. Athanasius translates this, "Your faith has saved you." Your faith has saved you. You see, giving glory to God, blessed are you, Baruch Adonai. Blessed are you, glory to you, Lord God. Falling down at the feet of our Lord in worship and adoration is not only a fulfillment of the saving faith that God has promised us, but it in fact animates the faith to which we have been called. The nine ungrateful lepers who failed to return, who failed to worship, who failed to give glory to God, without a doubt were at some level grateful. They were grateful not to be cut off anymore. They were grateful that they were not going to have to suffer a life-threatening disease. No doubt they were grateful. But who were they grateful to or for what? This is where faith is cut off for them. There's a blindness of heart. There's an ugliness of soul that continues to abide, a leprosy of soul. But for the Samaritan, not only was he healed in body, but in returning and glorifying God and bowing down at his feet of the living Christ, he also received healing of soul. There was a film, a short documentary film produced by an Iranian back in 1962 called Into the Black House, which documented leper colonies and how the human side of the story of people in modern-day Iran who were still being colonized as they suffered from leprosy. And in the opening of the film, the narrator, she says, "There's no shortage of ugliness in the world. But when we close our eyes to the ugliness, we only intensify it." In many ways, I believe we have closed our eyes to the ugliness. And not just to the ugliness out there in the world, but we've closed our eyes, we've blinded ourselves to the ugliness of our own soul, to the leprosy of our own souls, and in our unconfessed sins, our disordered passions, our addictions, our resentment and hostility toward others. For you see, what we see in this Samaritan glorifying God, giving thanks, true thanksgiving, was to enter into a life of Eucharistic praise and worship in communion with God and in communion with others. You see, these other nine ungrateful Jews were called to that same communion, and yet they failed to show up. And Jesus reminds us in the parable found in the 22nd chapter of Luke of the banquet to which the kingdom of God is a banquet to which we have been called. We have been called, and yet we make excuses often. We make excuses or we respond in obedience, yes. We show up to Mass. We do the fast, but we're living oftentimes at an external level in conformity to the letter of the law and missing the spirit of the law, failing, putting this letter of the law over the law of mercy and grace, and recognizing that we have been and are recipients of mercy. And so in making excuses, Jesus said that the master said, go out on the highways and byways and bring in the poor and the crippled and the lame. And we might add the lepers as well. Because we have been called as lepers of the soul to communion with our Lord, to a life of Eucharistic thanksgiving. And that communion is also with others. And yet in our own ugliness of soul, how often do we stand in judgment like the Pharisee with a certain gratefulness? God, I thank you that I'm not like him. I thank you that I'm not like her. And there is no thankfulness in that that saves the soul, that cleanses the heart, that brings salvation. It is only as we come before the table, as we have been called as those who are poor and lame and crippled and leprous of heart, as we come recognizing and being intently aware of none other ugliness than the ugliness of our own heart, it is there that we are not aware and critical of others. It is there that we are aware of this glorious grace and mercy which God has shown in delivering us and delivering me from my sins and transgressions, from my darkness, from my rottenness of soul. And there in giving glory to God, when we say, the priest, the celebrant, lift up your hearts. It is so foundational to give glory, to give thanks. Baruch atah Adonai. Blessed be God. Blessed be you, O Lord God, Master of the universe. In closing, I was reminded of a time when I was still pastoring the United Methodist Church, and there were in three churches over in Harpers Ferry, and many of the people there were, I would say, cultural Methodists. People who always went to church because that's what they always did and their parents always did. And I don't judge their hearts, but piety did not run very deep with a lot of the people. But there was one old woman, she was in her 90s, who was a widow, lost her husband. Her name was Agnes Jones, God rest her soul. And Agnes was such an inspiration to me. When I would grow discouraged at the shallowness of the faith of some of the people. And Agnes, not long before she died, told me the story of how, after having lost her husband, she lost her eyesight. And she knew that even though she was getting old, that was something that she might expect. But in her case, she was distraught about this because she drew comfort from reading God's word every day and studying the Bible. And she had so much of the Bible memorized, but she was distraught in not being able or in thinking that she maybe could not read the Bible again. But the doctor said that there was a surgery that they believed that could correct her and restore some level of eyesight. And so Agnes told me, said they, after the surgery, they'd patched her eyes. And she said, at the time that they said that I could take the patches off, she said, I took them off. And I was sitting there out on my porch, And I had my Bible in my lap, and I wanted to see if I could see. And she said, I opened up the Bible, and she said, it fell to my favorite passage, Psalm 103. And she said, I could read it. I could read it, and for the first time perhaps ever, I prayed that psalm from the very depths of my heart. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction. You see, Agnes had discovered the fullness of Eucharistic thanksgiving, a life of giving praise, not only from having healed her infirmities, but a life that was singing forth from her very soul, giving glory to the God who delivers us from our own leprosy of heart and soul. So let us give thanks in a way that God has called us to, that even in the troubles and the difficulties of our life that we will surely face, that we respond not with bitterness and resentment, but we respond always and in all things and to all people with a heart, a thanksgiving, a life lived Eucharistically in Him. Let us give thanks, true thanks, as we approach His holy table. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.